Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Psalm 67. Last week we talked about the blessing of God. We looked at the way that God blesses in Psalms chapter 1 and how the way that we choose greatly determines God's blessing upon our life. And as we make right choices, God is able to bless us and place His favor upon us. If we choose a way that goes away from Him, then we remove ourselves from His blessing. Psalm 67 was a prayer, a blessing that the priests would speak upon the people. And occasionally I refer to it as well. It's one of it's a favorite passage of Scripture in Psalm 67. So I've entitled the message, "May Your Face Shine Upon Us." And so we're going to talk a little more about the blessing of God. And I think in America, we are kind of twisted in our idea and concept of what of God's blessing. And so I'm going to build upon that. Casting Crowns has a new song out called Thrive. And it kind of illustrates Psalms 1 and even the psalm that we're talking about here. You were made to thrive. You notice that tree? Pretty massive tree, wasn't it? Going everywhere. And I believe that is a picture not only of a tree planted by the streams of water, but one that is, you know, impressive and massive and shows forth the glory of God, right? You look at a tree like that and you go, wow, that's incredible. Did you know that God wants your life to be that same way? That the people around you and the world around you will look at your life and say, wow. It's more than just a person, but they see the presence and the glory of God upon your life. And so, let's dig into this a little bit in Psalm 67. Let's read this together. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine upon us, that Your ways may be known on earth and Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise You, O God. May all the peoples praise You. May all the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the people praise You, O God. May the peoples praise You. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. And God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear Him." Father, we give You the thanks, we give You the praise, and we ask this in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I want to take just a few moments here this morning just to kind of break apart this psalm. Probably the part we know about the psalm the most is the verses 1 and 2. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face shine upon us." You know, if we were to go before somebody to ask a request or a favor, we use that term expression, their face to be shining upon us. It means that they are looking with favor upon us. Now, if they have this frowny face, right? Is that going to, what are the chances of getting what you want? Not very good, right? All right? But if their face is smiling, you can tell that you have their favor, and you can probably ask whatever you want. If they're able to do it, they're going to honor that request because they are looking with favor upon you. Their face is shining upon you. And what this psalmist says, "May God's face shine upon us and grant us His favor and His peace." May His face shine upon us. The first thing that we can take away from verse 1, it's in your program there, is that we should seek God's blessing. And what verse 1 brings across is that we need God's blessing in our life. It shows that need of that we have of God. And the other nations in this speaks immediately to Israel, but then I believe it points to the church. But Israel was to be like that tree, to show forth the glory of God. They were God's chosen people, but it wasn't just for them. They were to be an example, a light to the rest of the nations of God's favor and of His blessing. And this first verse really brings forth just our need for God. Now, the nations around Israel, they did everything they could to get blessing and favor. And so they had all sorts of gods. They had Baal, they had Asherah, they had Moloch, they had all sorts of Dagon, all these other gods that they would go to get blessing and prosperity for their crops, for their livestock, for their families. And they would seek after all these gods to get favor. But of course, they were just gods of stone, of wood, of things that had no power and authority. But Israel served the true and the living God, and God, they sought God, and as God blessed them, it was a witness to the rest of the nations that their God was real. But it points to our need of God. And it points to that we need to seek God's blessing because we need Him. Psalm 65 talks, if you just go back a couple psalms, Joshua 66. But 65 talks about some of the blessings that God brings our way. In verses 9 through 13, he says, "You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the desert overflow, and the hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks, and the valleys are mantled with grain, and they shout for joy and sing." And so it's a picture of prosperity. The crops are doing good. The pastures are doing good. The livestock is doing well, because God is blessing His people. And so that's what it means for God to bless us. What does blessing look like for you? Maybe it is that your crops do well. Maybe it's favor at work, that in the relationships you have, God grants you favor with the people you work with. That He blesses your business. Not just for your own ends, but He's, I don't want to give my second point away, but He's blessing you for His purpose and His glory. So we should seek God's blessing. And it points to our need, that we need God. And we need His touch upon our life. Just as we sang that song, Breathe, this morning, just how we need God each and every day. Secondly, verse 2, it says, that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among the nations. So we, in this verse, we see that blessing isn't just a dead end with us. And I think in America, many times we've taken, if you were a part of the prosperity movement that was very strong back 20 years ago, to me, the part that I really struggled with that is that it was seen as bless me. Okay? And that's what the psalmist, he says, you know what, bless us that what? Yeah, that people will see your ways and your salvation. And see, God, the blessing isn't to stop with us, it's to flow through us. That our world can be touched and that we can display His glory. You look at the life of Abraham. God called him to leave his land, which would be modern-day Iraq. He's to follow God, a God he did not know. God speaks to him. He leaves, goes to what is modern-day Israel. He says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And eventually God did, right? It was a process, though, of many, many years, and he had no children, and he tried to make it happen on his own through a servant girl of Sarah's, and that kind of backfired. And eventually God honored his promise after they no longer could have kids. Sarah has a son, Isaac, and he then would be the promise, and we know that Abraham is the father of Israel, of the Jewish people. And they became a great nation, their descendants as great as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. God honored his promise. But see, it wasn't to end with Abraham. God wasn't just going to bless Abraham so that Abraham could be wealthy and prosperous. The goal is that through Abraham, other nations would be blessed and touched. And when the blessing of God has reached our life, it should be also reaching the lives of people around us. Does that make sense? And he lists two things here. He says that your ways may be known on earth. And Yahweh is the Hebrew word for Lord in Scripture in the Old Testament. And the goal was that as God would bless the people of God, people that did not believe in God would embrace Yahweh. And that they would know him, just not his name, but they would embrace him as their Lord and their Savior. And say, I want to serve their God. Because I see that God's blessing is upon their life. I want God's blessing upon my life as well. To know God's ways and embrace the Lordship of Christ in their life. But also to know his salvation. And speaks of God's protection, his deliverance, and the forgiveness of sin. And Israel got to see that as they escaped from Egypt. They were in captivity there, and God led them through the Red Sea, gave them escape from Pharaoh, and took them on the way to the Promised Land. They kind of took a little detour there because of their own disobedience. But God then brought them into the Promised Land, what is known as modern-day Israel. And God blessed them there. He helped them defeat their enemies. He helped them to settle there. But see, the goal wasn't just God bless me so that I can be blessed. It's God bless us so that we can be a blessing to the world around us, that people around us can know your ways and know your salvation. And I think of Rahab. It's kind of interesting just the stories that are included in the Bible. And you have the story of Rahab. Who was Rahab? She was a prostitute that lived in Jericho. And Jericho would be one of the first cities that Israel would conquer as they went into the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. And as Israel got close, they sent in some spies to kind of check out Jericho, and they sneak in, but they're detected. And so they're trying to escape, and they end up at Rahab's house seeking protection from a prostitute. And Rahab had two options. Right? Either hide the guys or turn them over to the authorities and let them be captured. And she chooses to hide them. Why? Because the fear of Israel's God had come upon the city of Jericho. They had heard the stories of how God had delivered Israel and how God's favor had been with Israel. And at that moment and that time, she made a decision saying, you know what? I've served other gods, but none compares to the God of Israel. And I'm going to put my faith and trust in the God of Israel. She hides the spies, allows them to escape. And the promise was that when we come and conquer Jericho, if you have that scarlet cord out the window, and God will spare you and your family. And so the walls come down, they come in and take Jericho. They have the cord in the window, and God spares Rahab. But it doesn't end there, folks. Rahab becomes part of the people of God. She must have married, found a husband. And not only that, she's in the lineage of an important person. Who is that? She's in the lineage of Christ, if you go to your Bibles in Matthew. She's part of the lineage of Christ. And see, that was God's picture, is that through Israel and God blessing Israel, that the other nations would say, you know what, we want to follow that same God and accept him as our Lord and our Savior, and to know his ways. And Israel, in this sense, is a picture of the church, of what God wants us as believers. That, yes, does God want to bless you? Absolutely. But it's not just so that you can have the nice car and the big house and all that type of stuff. See, that we look at it in American terms, we kind of look, bless me. But we're not to be this reservoir that we collect it all for ourselves. It's to be that we can be a channel that God can flow through. That he is, as he blesses us, we can bless the world around us. Abraham was a very generous man. Job, God blessed Job, and Job was a very generous man. He gave to the needy, he gave to the poor, as God blessed him. He didn't keep it for himself. He allowed himself to be a channel, to be a witness to the world around him. Am I making sense? That your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among the nations. Number three, the ultimate goal of God's blessing, this is in your program, is that people from all nations may come to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Not just to know of God, but to know God. And so the Hebrew word there is for know is that there's a relationship there. It's just not knowledge of somebody, but there's that relationship that has been established. The ultimate goal of God's blessing is that the people from all nations, ethnos is the word, okay, in the Greek, but all nations may come to know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. There's an immediate application in these verses. As Israel lived in obedience, that they would be recipients of His blessing and in turn be a blessing to the world around them, that other nations would know God's ways and His salvation. Let's look at that, verses 3 through 7. May the peoples praise You, O God, and may all the peoples praise You. So they're not talking about just the people of Israel will praise God, but the people from the other nations that worship Baal and Asherah and Moloch and Dagon, that they would worship God. We know Rahab embraced God, but even the Philistines feared God. If you remember the story when they capture the ark, it's when Saul and his sons are killed in Mount Gilboa. It's found in 2 Samuel. They're killed. They capture the ark, the presence of God. The Philistines catch it. Capture it, and they take it back home, and they put it up in their temple. And I taught this to my little boys here on Wednesday night. But they bring it into their temple, the temple of Dagon, and they thought, hey, you know, we got the ark. We're going to bring it into a temple. They place it in the temple. Dagon is there, and they put the ark there. And they come the next morning. What's happened to Dagon? He's lying face down, worshiping God. They set him back up, come back the next day. Now his hands and his feet are broken off. And so they say, hey, we don't want him anymore. Hey, this other city, you can have him for a while. You can have the Ark of God. And they pass it from a couple different communities in the land of Philistine there. But all of a sudden, tumors break out on people, rats, and disease begins to break out. And they say, you know what? There's power. Israel's God is powerful. And they said, you know what? If we want this stuff to leave, we're going to have to send the Ark of God back to Israel. So they put it on a cart. And they put all these gifts and offerings that recognize the power of God. They even put rats and tumors on there to represent that the God of Israel was powerful enough to bring these plagues upon the Philistine people. And they put these gifts, they were gold rats, okay. Nowadays, they'd be worth a lot of money. And they put them on the cart, and the ox took them back to the land of Israel. And where it rested and stayed, it blessed that home and that household until it was brought back to Jerusalem. The nations recognized the power of God. And the ultimate goal of God's blessing upon our life is that other people, whether it's people from other nations, in our community, our neighbors, that they may see the presence of God in our life and embrace them as their Lord and their Savior. And it points to this last part of the psalm, points to a time when all the nations will be glad and will sing for joy. Because it says, You rule the people justly and guide the nations with earth. And that's talking about Jesus as the Messiah, when Jesus will rule and reign in Jerusalem during the millennial reign of Christ. Isaiah talks about that. It's a 1,000-year reign. That's why you call it the millennial reign. It's a 1,000-year reign where Jesus will rule and reign in Jerusalem. It'll be the only time that this earth will be ruled with peace, with justice, ultimate justice. I was reading in the paper here the other day just how many people have been falsely accused or are in prison or in jail for crimes they didn't commit. You know, we have a justice system. It's probably one of the better ones in the world, but it's not, justice isn't always served. Sometimes people are in prison that aren't supposed to be there, and then there's other people that escape that should be in prison, right? We do our best to make sure justice is served, but it's not always served. But it'll be a time where there's justice, where there's peace, and He'll rule and reign. And then the nations will praise God, and they'll worship Him. It points to that time. And so this psalm builds off of the promise given to Abraham, but it also points to that God would shine his face upon us, his people, so that the rest of the world may be touched, and that God's blessing, when it reaches us, it may also reach the world around us. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come, and we're going to close with that song that we intended to go with, Denise, 10,000 Reasons. God, I believe, wants to bless his people. But it is not just for our own ends. It's that our lives can be a blessing to the world around us. And that we can be a channel that he flows through, like Abraham, like Job, and countless others that the blessing of God was upon. I'm going to close with that song, 10,000 Reasons. Have Victor and Yolanda, if you'd join me at the front. Gil and Emily, if you could join me. And if you have a need or request this morning, I'm going to invite you to come and they'll pray with you. And if you don't know the Lord as your Lord and your Savior this morning, they can lead you in that prayer as well to embrace Christ. I want us to look to the Lord and just to lift up a prayer request this morning to the Lord. Amen? Amen. You may stand this morning. You should stand and sing this together. If you have a need, if you can come forward for prayer.